Our guest today is considered the video content Superman, and he is so incredible with all of the knowledge that he dropped about why we tend to shy away from video as podcasters, what tips we should be looking at, and things we should be using to improve how our podcast content, specifically video content, can stop the scroll when people are scrolling through social media, and how we can optimize and make the most of AI tools that we have today to really help us ideate and come up with new ideas for our content. Be sure to listen to Atiba's number one tip for making sure that we are attracting the right types of listeners and the right types of clients. Please join me in welcoming Atiba to the podcast. Welcome to the Listeners to Leads podcast, where we're helping podcasters launch and maintain lead generating shows. I'm your host, Alicia Galati, the founder of Galati Media, a full-service podcast management agency. On this show, you'll hear my guests and I discuss everything that it takes to launch a successful podcast and keep it running. If you're ready to get leads, land speaking gigs, and create a deeper connection with your audience through your podcast, then this is the show for you. Hi, Atiba. Thank you so much for being here today. I am so excited. So if you could start by telling everyone who you are, what you do, and about your multiple podcasts.
Oh, absolutely. First and foremost, thank you for having me. And y'all out there, you listening right now? Yo, what's up? It's great to be here with you. I am Atiba. They call me the video content Superman because I know a very little bit about video and video content. Honestly, my first podcast ever started in 2007.
Wow.
The latest ones that are online right now still started about four and a half years or so ago. And I have solo podcasts. I also have podcasts that I do with another person, right? Where we kind of team up. And our podcasts are always about education. Hmm. Listen, I fully believe that the future is one in video, but it's not just in video and you dancing on video, but it's in video and you sharing your knowledge on video. It's in video and you connecting and being authentic and really giving value to your audience. And so that's what we do on my podcast.
Yeah. You know, I've been having a lot of conversations lately, and I know this will go live in a few months, but right now AI is kind of taking over the space, yeah. Right? And so, you know, there's a lot of theories on what's going to happen with social media, what's going to happen with, you know, the different forms of content that we're consuming. Do we trust the content that we're consuming? Do we trust that the person actually knows what they're talking about? And I was telling a friend, I was like, look, podcasting is that is going to be the place, because you can't really replicate that, especially if people have seen that you've been doing this for years before AI kind of showed up, right? So you're able to really show up and say, hey, look, I'm not just some AI person who went in and said, hey, I'd like to be an expert in this. Make me sound like an expert, because anybody could do that now. But instead, we've been sharing our voice, we've been sharing our content, showing up. And so I think podcasting is where it's at. But podcasting can tend to be a more audio format, but we're seeing a shift in that as well. So
yes,
what time. Are some things that we need to be looking out for in the future of podcasting and video? And some, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, what's interesting about that is I had this opportunity to talk to so many people about this, because there are so many of us that create interview podcasts, and we're interviewing someone else and we're using video, and then we scrap and discard the video. And it's just like, but why? Right? And because here's the deal. There is no better way to connect with your audience than video. Okay. Yes, audio comes in second, but video outpaces it by a ton, an absolute ton. People want to be able to see your face. People want to be able to see your expressions. Oh, but my people listen to me while I'm working. Okay, that might well be true. But when they want to watch you, they want to watch you. And here's the other side of it. And I know so many podcasters, and I'm hoping you're one of them, have already started to make that switch into YouTube and putting your podcast on YouTube. Why? Because so many people are on YouTube already. Right? And if you're going to put your podcast on a video platform. Y'all getting the point? Video platform. Video is good.
Yeah. I mean, I've had clients where they're like, oh, I want to put my backlog on there with the little audiograms and the waves. And I'm like, oh, no, please just pause. Let's just start now and do video from now on. You're going to lose so much respect from YouTube. There's a bit of shadow banning that can happen too when you do go that way. So I think that it's really important that when we're doing video, and yes, I am someone who has shifted my podcast to be video this year, and I was fighting it so much. I was like, I don't want to do it. And my team's like, look, Alicia, you need to get your face out there. You need to be the face of the brand. Come on, let's go. I had guests who were like, you are so expressive in these interviews. And yes, it comes across in your voice, but you can see it in your eyes. Like, put it on there. And I'm like, oh God, I don't want to. But we made the change and I'm actually enjoying it a bit. It's not as scary as I thought it would be. What are some things that kind of stop people from making that step of, okay, I'm going to put my podcast up on YouTube in a video format?
There's one word. It's one freaking word. I'm going to say it to you. I'm gonna say it to you. You're listening to me and you don't want me to say this word, but I'm gonna say it to you, right? I'm gonna act like what was his name in Meet the Fockers? Oh my God.
Robert De Niro. Yeah.
Robert De Niro. Okay. It's your ego.
Yep.
Real talk. Okay. You want to tell me about your hair. You want to tell me about how you sound. You want to tell me about, well, what am I going to talk about? You want to tell me all these excuses. They all trace back to your ego. Now, let me be straight with you. Because I totally understand. But here's the piece that you have to also understand is your ego is causing you to be selfish.
Mm.
Your business, your message needs to hit certain people. And you're going to hit more of those people using video than just audio. And so your ego is causing you to be selfish and limit how much impact you're actually having. And you're supposed to be having more impact. Stop being selfish.
We're just going to let everybody sit in that for a moment. It's so true, right? Especially as business owners. And I love that you mentioned at the beginning that your podcasts are about educating. And usually we see, you know, different forms of podcasting. We see the entertainment. We see the more storyline type of, here's a journey. Let me tell you a story. And then, or narrative, that's the word I was looking for, kind of a narrative podcast. And then the one that is more educational. And I got to say, learning from podcasts is so impactful for people who are definitely needing that background noise, or maybe are sick of, like me, when I first started listening to podcasts, the same three songs on the radio. I was sick of it. And I was like, I just want to listen to something else. Found podcasting and was like, are you telling me as a lifelong learner that I can keep learning about stuff? I don't have to go back to college to keep learning more things.
Yes, that's exactly what we're telling you. I can just listen to
podcasts. Awesome. So I think the education ones are so, so important. And you are obviously Superman of the video realm. So what are some tools that we can use as podcasters? Obviously, we're recording on Riverside. I highly recommend them and love them. Are there any others that you're finding are working really well right now?
Absolutely. Yes, Riverside. We use Riverside a ton as well. It is also our recording platform. But guess what? Riverside plugs directly into Descript, which will do wonders for you. Especially if you're sitting there and you're someone who is saying, you know what? I'm not a video editor. Heck, I'm not even an audio engineer. Yeah, Descript simplifies so much of that for you. Even the simple things, like, you know, I get people who say, well, I stutter, or I say and I don't sound real good. And then they listen to what we produce and like, wow, you made me sound good. Yeah, you know why? Because in one click, Descript will remove all of those and uhs that you say and make it sound good. One click. One freaking click. But that is our number one tool.
Yeah, Descript is fantastic. I was having a hard time with it I like to go into the audio side and the audio engineering. And so I feel like some of their tools aren't maybe used for that. So we have additional tools that we like to use. to edit down those types of things. But for a quick look, I need to overcome my ego and get myself out there. What's the easiest straight line way to do it? I 100% agree. Riverside plus Descript. And even if you want a more authentic one, keeping your ums in or your pauses and your thoughts, Riverside now has tons of editing tools within itself edit out, which is fantastic. I know they're coming out with new stuff left and right this year. It's been pretty awesome. And even creating reels on Riverside, which we've been using that as well. And I think that really helps to be able to get it all done in one shot and not have to stress about
the process.
Yes, streamline the process, not make it overcomplicated, and get that content out there. So one of my predictions for 2024 was that even if you have an audio podcast, video marketing is 100% needed. And we've since moved all of our clients to that. What are your thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree with you more. The reality is an audiogram, y'all, is like 2020.
It's so 2020.
Now, get me, as I'm saying this, that are there times where an audiogram is appropriate? Sure. There's times when all content is appropriate. But you're going to go to Instagram or LinkedIn with 50 audiogram files and that's going to be your entire profile? Yeah, good luck, right? It's not going to work. And so you need to, whether it is that you're splintering out the content that you did create on video or you're creating new teaser content to promote, yeah, you need video there too. Absolutely, you need video there. You see, here's the thing. I'll give you an example. I was on Instagram earlier and I saw a clip of someone speaking and I realized, oh, they were on a podcast. And I looked and I was like, oh, they were on so-and-so's podcast. Wow, that's so cool. Right? What did that do? I know both of those people. I was on the verge of going and sending both of them a text message. Oh, y'all did a podcast together. And so you're creating relationship and connection right there. Now, if it was just an audiogram, I would not have known that at all. Okay. And so that's the beauty of video and video marketing for your podcast.
Yeah, I think it's so important. People are going to scroll by. You have to think about the consumer, right? They haven't discovered you probably yet. You're showing up in their For You page, maybe. And an audiogram is not going to be the way to stop their scroll and get them interested. It has to be what I like to call talking heads. You have to have some face on there and moving and talking. That is what is going to stop people in their tracks. So what are some other things that you're finding and ways to maybe repurpose this video that you found is really working for your clients beyond just podcasts, right?
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to share with you guys. Okay. I had a conversation. So we have a new client and they have someone right now who's producing their podcast and we're taking over all of their video work. And they were doing a video podcast, but we're doing additional video and blah, blah, blah. And this company, when I met with them and met with the owner and we looked at what they'd been doing, yeah, they're publishing stuff on YouTube and they're publishing shorts that were created from the podcast on YouTube, which, you know, sounds like great stuff with an average of 12 views, not really killing it. Okay. I took him to one of our clients and showed him, yeah, we're getting about 47,000 views, right? And he said, why? I said, it's very simple. And I asked him, can you see the difference? And most times people can't, right? Because he looked at what they did and he thought, yeah, what we did was good. I don't know why it didn't work. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. And so this is the thing that I want you to hear. Here's the problem. So often when we take a long form piece of content and we cut it up for other platforms, we cut it up for ourselves, not for the consumer. We don't think about what they actually want to see. We don't think about what's going to make them, like you said earlier, stop the scroll in that For You feed.
Yeah.
We don't think about that enough when we're cutting content. You see, that's all we think about. That's all we're focused on. What is it that they want to know? What is the question that they're having? What's the pain point that they're in? And that's how we position this clip to make people watch it.
So what's an example of that, right? So like from our conversation or a conversation that you've seen recently where maybe we would pull a certain type of content and that's not really what the listener or the scroller, right, would want. But what is something else that maybe that we can pinpoint easily to be like, yep, that's what they need.
Okay. So I would take what we just talked about. I would frame myself out, right? And put at the top, YouTube videos not getting any views. Number one tip to fix that.
Yeah.
You called out a pain point and made a promise. Okay. If I'm on my For You feed and I'm thinking about my YouTube channel that's getting no views and I see that, I'm like, yo, I need that.
Yeah.
But what would we normally do? Atiba's tip for fixing YouTube views. Okay. They don't even know who I am. Why do they care?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to draw them in, right? With that, like, yes. This is what you need to do. This is why this is important. Yeah, 100%. I agree. And now I'm thinking of like ways that I can shift even the content that I'm creating, right? For this podcast or for my solo podcast, where can I pull that question, really pull that question of what they're feeling and what they're thinking? So this is something you guys should be thinking about as you're listening to this. All right, for the next episode, and this isn't a go back and redo all the past ones from now on, right? Don't stress yourself out. From now on, how can you really make the most of your content and ensure that you're getting those views, right? You're saying that the content that you're sharing really isn't that different. It's very similar. There's no actual, like, you're showing the same thing. It's just that caption or that title.
It's the positioning of it.
Yeah.
Right. And the positioning of it is based on, and so this is one of the things that we teach. At the end of the day, we all care about traffic. Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
Whatever traffic looks like for you, it's eyeballs on your thing. That's what we were trying to get, right? So how do we get more eyeballs on our thing? And that's called traffic. There are three keys to traffic. Key number one, and this is the one I want to focus on here with us, because this is the one that most people screw up the most. You have to be obsessed with your audience. You have to know your audience almost as well or better than they know themselves. You have to know what motivates them. In other words, what pain that they're in. So many times we want to focus on love, and we said we don't want to do, I hear this a lot, we don't want to do pain point marketing because it sounds so negative. Yeah, I get that point. But I want you to think back to the last time you were in love. When you fell in love, what'd you do? Yeah, you sat on, depending on how old you are, you sat on the couch and watched Netflix and chill. Okay? But the prevailing thought is, I don't want this moment to end. And you don't do anything. You want to stay right there, focused. Love does not cause people to move, only pain. Mm-hmm. When you're in love and you're sitting on that couch and you're Netflix and watch and chilling, what causes you to move? The hunger pain in your stomach that says it's time to eat. That's when you move. Pain causes us to move. Get obsessed with your customer and understand the pains that they're in. Then as you're creating that content, you're looking for, when am I addressing the answers to the pain that they're in? That's the beauty of it. But if you don't spend that time, and it's constant and it's hard work, it is. Fortunately, I have developed some AI tools to help you solve it, but that's another thing. The reality though is you have to get obsessed with your customer. You have to. It's the only way you're going to grow.
I don't think enough podcasters, and this is something that I will constantly stand on a mountain and talk about, is like, most people are not ready to have a podcast. They're not ready to have a consistent content that they're showing up for because they don't know who in the world they're talking to. And if you look at any of the top 100 podcasts out there, they know their audience. They are so in touch with who their audience is and what they need to hear that that's how they show up, and they don't deviate from that. But we have to be willing to be, like you said, obsessed with our audience. And also, I'd like to take that a step further and say obsessed with the topic, because that shines through so much. If you're not obsessed with the topic, then you're just going to drone on, even if you know the pain points of the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. And point of fact, number two in the keys to traffic is your content strategy, right? And that's your topics.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you're right on.
Oh, it's so important. So you kind of teased us there. Let us know about these AI tools you got going on.
So it's a toolkit. So one of the things that we've developed, and it's come from all of our years. So I started with understanding customer journey and building your ideal customer profile back in 2002. And I've been building customer profiles for clients since 2002. So is that 22 years now?
Whew, yeah.
Man, I'm getting old. We've been doing it for a long time, and it's more for a long time. We've learned a lot of stuff. And so what we've done is we've taken all of those best practices that we've had over the years, and we've built that into actually a teaching platform and a series of prompts that you can put into ChatGPT that will actually help you define your ideal customer. And what you come out with is like almost a 13-page document describing your ideal customer.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty darn special.
That is awesome. Where can we get that?
Videoprompts.ai, actually. That's the website where you can go and get that. So the entire toolkit, what it does is it starts you with your understanding your ideal customer, identifying their pain points, right? Then, which as podcasters, you can use as well. Once you have those, it then starts to talk about, okay, how do you create content for those pain points? You can then use that with the content you already have to figure out how you splinter it. Then it's going to help you come up with your titles. It's going to help you write your descriptions, does everything for you, even will help you write, if you want to turn it into blogs, help you write blog outlines.
Yes. Yep. And I love that you said blog outlines. I think it's so important, especially as we are shifting, and I know you're big on SEO as well, like as we're shifting into this AI heavy content, that we are still putting ourselves into this content, that we are still writing and not like use it as an ideation tool. It's great for that stuff. It's great for, oh, I said it this way and I kind of don't want to say it that way. I want to say it a little differently. Like I wrote a review for someone and I was like, that came off a little woo and I want to put it on LinkedIn. Make me sound a little more professional. It kept the same things, the same feelings that I felt in working with this person, but made it more LinkedIn specific where she could use either one, right? So that's fine to use it that way, but it's not a tool to just spit out.
Generate content.
Right. Please don't. Yes.
And the thing about it is, and I'm going to say this rather bluntly, smart people are going to get smarter and dumb people are going to get dumber. And so if you're listening right now and you've been a classic dumb person, you're just going to get dumber. And I'm sorry, I don't mean that to be offensive, but it's just the truth. Yeah. Because you're going to do exactly what Alicia's saying not to do. You're going to think that all these AI tools are your shortcut to actually doing real work and let them do all of the work for you. That's not the point, right? Here's what smart people are going to do. Smart people are going to realize that I can use AI to ask better questions and get better answers, which then allow me to create better content.
Yes.
That is what smart people are going to do. And that is what's going to end up separating. So right now we're in a malaise. When ChatGPT hit, and I said this then, we're going to be in a malaise until about 2026, where there's just a glut and a flood and blah, 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 and everything looks the same. But mark my words, coming out of 2026, we're going to start to see a divide. And this is going to be greater than any divide that the world has ever seen. Okay, we have haves and has-nots. We got black and white, green, yellow, and purple now, and we call those divides. This divide is going to be greater because you're going to truly get the divide of intelligence and intellect.
Mm.
You're going to get the little kid in Botswana who knows how to ask questions, who all of a sudden creates a $1 billion company for the first time ever because AI is going to leverage the playing field if you know how to ask the right questions.
I can't wait. I'm excited. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Me too, to be honest.
Yeah. I've been introducing my kids to it. I think there's kind of right now a feeling of like, oh, AI, ah. But I'm like, look, this is the future. And I want to make sure that they're 10 and 7. They're not there yet. But by the time they're out there, and they're trying to use these tools, I want them to be able to understand that it can generate stuff. This is mostly fake stuff. The answers aren't always going to be correct. You got to fact check. I mean, we talk about this stuff with social media as well. So I think that it's going to be really incredible, the seeing where it goes. So I'm excited about what you just said, because I think it's going to, like you said, level the playing field in a way that we haven't really seen. And I would say since podcasting, because podcasting does, it really does level the playing field where anyone can start a podcast and get their voice out there and become something more than they have been before. So
yeah, podcasting did that. The internet did that before podcasting. And this is going to be bigger than both of them combined, multiplied by 10.
I love it. It's going to be so great.
It is. Ugh.
All right. Anything else that you feel like, all right, we talked about a lot. What is the one thing that we can do to take action and to really, maybe it's just getting over our ego. We're not there yet.
Yeah. There are a couple ways that you get over your ego, right? So either you just need to human up and just do it. Okay. And say, okay, look, I created a video. I'm just going to post it. Listen, to this day, I've been on camera since 2007. I rarely, if ever, watch my own videos. I typically get to see my videos when I see someone else watching them. My team creates everything. I don't look at anything. Even today, I created stuff today and I created it and I played it for 3 seconds to make sure that the sound came on, because sometimes I forget to turn my mics on. Real talk. 3 seconds. Okay, we got sound. Upload and gone. I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if you can have that level of intestinal fortitude to say, hey, I'm just going to post it. Great. If not, hire somebody. Hire somebody to do it.
Yeah.
Make it their job. Take it out of your hands. But you got to do it. And here's a reason you got to do it. Because if you don't, obsolescence is coming. You are near obsolete. Is that really where you want to be? And this is the thing that will get you to the next phase.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
We don't want to be obsolete at all. So yeah, do the thing, guys. Where can people find you, get to know you, hang out with you if they're like, I need a tea, but please help me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Listen, I want to hang out with you too. Okay. So here's what I want you to do. Go to meetatiba.com. That's meet, A-T-I-B as in boy, A.com. My first name. Okay. That's going to take you directly to my LinkedIn. When you get to my LinkedIn, do not hit the follow button. Don't do it. Hit the more and come down to connect. Okay. Connect. Tell me you saw me here on the show. I want to connect with you one-on-one, person to person. Let's chat. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other.
Thank you so much, Atiba. This has been so incredible and I cannot wait for everyone to listen to it.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure being here. You're awesome.
Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Listeners to Leads. If you found something in this episode valuable, I would really appreciate it if you shared it with a friend who you know would also get value from it. Want to send me a message? My favorite place to hang out is Instagram. You can find me at alicia.galati. Let me know what your favorite takeaway was from the episode. And don't forget, turning those listeners into leads is actually easy.